The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas Masei. Towards the middle of the Parsha, Shishi, Posuk Tes, וידבר השם אל משה לאמור דבר אל בני ישראל ומת עליהם כי אתם עברים את הירדן ארצו כנען. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them that you are now going across the Yarden to Canaan, to the land of Israel. יקריסים לכם אורים, אורים מקלו תהיינו לכם, נוש שומר רצח מכי נפש בשקוגו. You shall make for yourself cities of refuge. And there, someone who without intent kills another person, he shall flee there, he shall run there for refuge. V'hoyu lachem ha'orim lemiklot migoyel v'layomus ha'ratzeach ar'om de livnei eidel ha'mishpot. And there he will have refuge from the family of the murdered, of the victim, the murdered one, in order that they shall not take revenge from him before he comes to the courts for judgment. V'orim asher titnenu sheish orim miklot yenu lachem. There shall be six cities, three on this side of the Jordan, and three in Eretz Yisrael. And if he kills him with intent, with an instrument of steel, then he is a murderer. And he is a murderer, he shall be put to death. And if he kills him with a stone with intent, he's a murderer. He shall be put to death. And so forth. Here the Torah tells us many of the halachos, many of the laws regarding shvichas domim, the spilling of blood. That if someone kills without intent, then he goes to the orimiklo, to the city of refuge. This will be a refuge from him, for him, from the family of the victim. Torah states, "Yoshav bo ad meis kein hakoyin hagodol asher moshach ha'isei b'shemen hakodesh." He shall stay in that city until the death of the high priest. And if he kills with intent, then he shall be put to death. Leisichu kevel nefesh retzeach asher rosh olamus ki meishumas. You shall not take a ransom from the person who murders, but you shall put him to death. You shall not take a ransom from the person who has to stay in the city of refuge in order that he may return before the death of the Kohen Godel. And then the parsha concludes, you shall not bring guilt to the land which you shall dwell in, because blood, the spilling of blood, brings guilt to the land. And the land will not atone for the blood which was spilled there. Only through the spilling of the blood of the guilty one. And you shall not bring impurity to the land which you dwell in, asher ani sheichin b'seicho, which I dwell in, ki ani Hashem sheichin b'seich b'nei Yisrael, I am your God who dwells amongst the children of Israel. So this is the parsha of Ritzicho, Shvichas Domin, murder. Now generally, we would think that such a parsha like this does not have too much relevance to religious Jews. If we speak about something that has to do with davening, or something that has to do with the mitzvah of tzedakah, or something that has to do with tefillin, that would be more relevant. But when we speak of murderers, such violence, this is necessary for other people, it's not necessary for us. Even though that this is true, that hopefully in our midst we do not find people that can be ranked amongst those that are mentioned here in the Torah. Nevertheless, there is much that we can learn from this parsha. many ramifications and many values and standards that we can see what the how the Torah views and how the Torah sets for us. We've discussed this in the past several times, but this is something which needs constant reviewing. For example, there is a popular philosophy, popular concept, which has prevailed in the world for a long time, and in our times also, that the right way that a man should walk should be with Rachmonis. He should be merciful. He should be full of compassion. And this means also, therefore, to show compassion not only to the victim, but to also show compassion to the murderer. So therefore we have all kind of laws through various generations, various countries, laws protecting the criminal in order that the law should not deal too harshly with him. What is the Torah's attitude towards this? Now, there is no doubt that an accused person must enjoy all of the protection of the law before it is determined whether he's guilty or not. This we're not referring to. And in this, the Torah is very stringent. It states that no one can be tried. It's only very rarely when you can find someone guilty without a proper and official trial. But we're referring to after he is found guilty. What should be the attitude towards such a person, especially when we're dealing with such serious crimes as shvichas domim, as murder? One of the psukim that we mentioned, the Torah tells us, Leisichu kefel nefesh retzeach asher rosh olomus kimei shemos. Under no circumstances are we allowed to accept a ransom for the murderer in order to pardon him. If he's found guilty in the light of the law for spilling innocent blood, and it was with intent, and it was with proper proof and proper warnings, then under no circumstances are we allowed to pardon him. Rashi brings La Yifter Bemomen. Excuse me. No, it's not Rashi. It's the Rambam. We'll quote in a minute. But we are not allowed to take any amount of money from him in order to pardon him. The same refers to someone who has to go into the city of refuge. Not allowed to take any amount of money from him in order to pardon him from this offense. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Retzeach Hilchos Retzeach Ushmiras Anefesh Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet Umuzorin Bezdin Shalaylikach Kefer Min Aretzeach Ba'afilo Nosen Kol Momen Sheba'ilam Ba'afilo Rotze Gel Adam LePetrei. That Bezdin is cautioned and commanded that they're not allowed to take any ransom from a convicted murderer to pardon him, and even if the Rotze Gel Adam LePetrei, even if the members of the family of the victim are willing to forgive his sin. Sheinafshi Shalzeh Anera Kinyan Gel Adam El Kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the one who he has killed, that nefesh, that life, does not belong to the family, does not belong to his brothers or his sisters, does not belong to people. El Kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu belongs to Hashem, belongs to the Almighty. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if someone's life is taken in cold blood, then there is only one kapora. There is only one atonement, and that is where that person is put to death. There's a second concept here, and this is in regards not only to the actual punishment which is given to a person, but what should be the attitudes of the courts in trying to deter these crimes. Now you have again many schools of thoughts. That there were many that hold, or they still contend, that there should be strong citizens, so-called citizens' rights, and that the courts should be stripped of their powers, or their powers should be limited, in order that they cannot execute properly the deen. We find also here some interesting halachos. In the Rambam, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, the Rambam brings a few cases of which the courts do not have a right, because of technical matters, to put such a person to death. For example, he says if someone kills his friend in cold blood, then he's put to death. But if someone does not kill another person himself, but he hires someone to do it, or he sends a servant to kill him. Oh, now in this case, since he did not do it himself, so this does not qualify for first degree murder. Or for example, he tied him up and he left him in a place where wild animals would come. And wild animals came and killed him. Kol echad me'elu shefik domim hu. All of these cases, I have no doubt this person is a murderer. The oven hariga b'yodei. And there is no doubt that the avera, the sin of killing someone, is in his hands. V'chayv misal shabayim. And he is guilty of the death penalty in regards to heaven. Ein ban misa bezdin. But in such a case, the courts do not have a right to kill him. Because since he did not do it himself, but he only brought about death to this person in an indirect manner, therefore the courts do not have a right to kill him. And then the Rambam goes into the source, how do we know this? Then the Rambam writes, he brings this from the Gemara, these type of murderers that the courts cannot give actual death penalty to, if the king of Israel wanted to execute this person because of takonos ha'olam, because he saw that it was necessary to do so, otherwise there would be a breakdown of law and order, he has the power to do so, even though the courts do not have the right to execute such a person according to the letter of the law. But extraordinary powers were given to the king in this case. If he would see that there would be a breakdown of law and order, he has the authority to give this person the death penalty. The same thing, if the court saw that at this particular time it was necessary to execute this person and not leave this person free, at this particular time, not as a standard practice, but as an exceptional practice, then also they have the authority. If they see that the time and the place demanded such action, then they have authority to do so. Now what happens if the king did not exercise his special authority? And the courts also did not. But still the courts are obligated to give this person a physical punishment, which is close to death. L'osram, to bind him, b'motzor, b'motzek, shonim rabbis. And to punish him for many, many years. U'letzarim b'chol minei tzar. And to make his life miserable. K'dei l'hafchid u'la'ayim ashar ha'reshoim. In order to cast a terror and a fear on other evil people. Shlayiya hadover lehem lepuka lemichshol v'yaymar. In order that others should not say hareini misaviv lahareg eivai, that kederech she'osa pleni v'efter, that I have a certain person that I hate, I want to kill him, I'll do it in such a manner which technically the courts will not be able to punish me. So in order that this should not exist and there should not be this possibility, that even if the courts do not exercise the exceptional powers given to them, or the king does not, still they are obligated, in accordance to the Torah, to punish that person and to make that person's life miserable, in order that others should learn from this and not learn from his ways. A similar example we have in the Mishnah in Makkos. At the end of the first parakeet of Zayin, the Mishnah tells us, Sanhedrin ha'horeges echod bishvua mikrei shuvlanis. A Sanhedrin, this was the high courts, if they would kill a person once every 7 years, then they had a reputation as being a murderous court. Because before convicting a person, according to Torah law, was very difficult. You had to have proper witnesses and tremendous cross-examinations, and you had to have proper warning, and there had to be proper intent, and so forth. And the Vihitzilo Eido, the Torah tells us in this parsha, that the courts are commanded to try to find a schus, to try to find a way to free the person before he was convicted. So therefore, a court that killed a person once every 7 years, this was called the Chublanis, gained a reputation as being a very, very murderous, tough court. Blezem ben Azaria Imer, Echad l'shivim shana. Blezem ben Azaria says, even once in 70 years. Reb Tafim, Reb Kiva Imerim, Ilu hoyina b'sanhedrin l'ayinayarag odem me'aylam. Reb Tafim and Reb Kiva said, if we were members of the Sanhedrin, then no one would have ever been killed. The Gemara explains they would have found technical loopholes to destroy the cases, prosecutor's case. And no one would ever been killed. Omar, Reb Shimon Gamliel Aimer. So Reb Shimon Gamliel answered Reb Kiva and Reb Tarfin, Af hein mar bin sheif chedomim bi Yisrael. That Reb Kiva and Reb Tarfin, they think that they're going with compassion. They will make it impossible for a person to be executed. He says, no. Afein marvin shechidomim Yisrael, such conduct will bring more murder into Klal Yisrael. So here again we see this principle. We have all the time the debate of strong citizens' rights or strong government. And especially in the past decades, where people suffered a lot from governments that were not just, and they created movements to protect citizens' rights. And this is something which is very important. The Torah's viewpoint is that the rights of the citizens must be protected, but all of the rights of the citizens must be. Should not come to an extreme like we find in many cases today in Western culture, where the rights of the accused are protected to even a greater extent than the rights of the victim. The government, in the eyes of the Torah,
is the greatest protector of citizens' rights. And therefore, the Torah gave the courts very strong powers, and powers that were unbending, because it is their obligation to protect the rights of the citizens. If powers are stripped from the courts, and they are left without any real authority, then it becomes anarchy. If it becomes anarchy, then we find that the rights of the strongest, the rights of the violent, the violent ones, they are the ones, their rights are protected. But in many cases, not so the victim. And these are some of the principles that we see from these few points. In the eyes of the Torah, it was very difficult to convict a person in order to make sure he was guilty. But once he was convicted, then we were not allowed to take any ransom in order to pardon him from the sin which the Torah gave him. Something else we can learn from these parshas. We live in a time when, in many places in the Western culture, it's a tendency today for non-involvement. You have large cities where the people do not want to become involved. They mind their own business and they stay out of trouble. What is the degree of involvement that the Torah demanded from an individual when it comes to upholding the laws of Israel, in particular in regards to his own brethren, to Klal Yisrael? The Rambam brings in Perek Aleph, Halacha Vov, that we're not allowed to give a person punishment without proper trial. But there's an exception to this. When is this? This is when he does an act which is guilty of the death penalty. But what happens if a person is pursuing, if Reuven is pursuing Shimon, afilo hayah reidiv katan, even if Reuven was a katan, a minor, and he wants to harm Shimon, harei kol Yisrael betzuvim lahatzel anidov miyad reidiv. All of Israel is commanded that they must save the victim from the one who is trying to harm him. Vafilo benafshi shel reidiv, and even if necessary, to kill the one who is pursuing the victim. They must try to stop him through other means. But if they can not, then they must kill him. They do not have to go to the police, and they're not allowed to go to the police or go to the court. But if that it's in order to save another person, then they are obligated to stop the first person at all costs. Ketzad, for example, im hiziruhu varei oreidet achrov afa pishlei kibel lova hasrov kibel shedayin hureidet varei zenerak. If first they must warn him, if he doesn't stop, then they must stop him. If they can stop him by wounding him, then they're obligated to wound him. But if they cannot, then they must stop him even by killing him. Also, in Halacha Yud Daled, Kol hayochol lahatzil v'leihitzil. Anyone who can save his friend, and he does not, eiver aleisamer al dam reecho. He transgresses the mitzvah of the Torah that states leisamer al dam reecho. You shall not stand by and see the blood of your brother spilled. V'chein areya es chaverev teveh b'yam. The same thing if somebody sees his chaver teveh, if he sees another a chaver drowning in the river, or listim boim alov, or if he sees a chaver where bandits are holding him up, or chayerob alov, or a wild animal is attacking him, v'yochel lahatzil hu be'atzmei, and he's capable of saving him himself. Or he's capable of bringing people to his aid. And he did not save them. Or if he hears a plot, he hears that goyim, other people are plotting against this individual. For example, that someone is speaking of going to the government. So it's a government that has special laws against Jews, like there were so many governments coming to this. And he hears of people who are going to the government and they're going to tell the government certain things, and this will give a weapon in the hands of the government to harm this person. A tamlin lepach, or someone is going to lay a trap for this person. V'lei gila eisen chaverev idea, and you do not tell the person about this. Or, if you know where someone is going to harm your friend, and you are capable of giving this person money in order to stop him, and you don't, whoever does this transgresses the mitzvah of leisamer al dam reecho, and hareze bitl mitzvese shiva katzeses kape, and also he's transgresses a positive commandment in the Torah, and another two negative commandments, leisoche seinecha v'leisamer al dam reecho. Then the Rambam brings, afal pi shein leiker alavin elu, even though in this particular case, someone who does not involve himself in this, and therefore he has transgressed many mitzvahs, even though he would not, there is no punishment that the Beis Din can give that person for this, because it's ein b'maisa, it does not involve an act. Chamurim heim, still it's very severe. A person who does not involve himself in the troubles of another person to save his life, then it's very severe. Shekol ha'ma'abed nefeshachas mi'Yisrael ki'ilo ovad kol ha'elam kule. Whoever causes the loss of one life of Israel is as if he has caused the loss of the entire world. And whoever saves one life in the world, it's as if he has saved the entire world. So here we have another principle, that a person cannot withdraw himself and merely worry about his own problems and not anyone else's. And in particular when it comes to Shvichas Domim, when it comes to matters of life and death, but he's obligated through the Din Torah to involve himself and to do whatever is possible in order to save his chaver. Now actually this midah, this quality, this is a quality that we saw in Moshe Rabbeinu. So when Moshe was brought up in the palace of Paray, and he was free from the troubles of his brother, he went out and he wanted to see what was happening. And when he saw what was happening, he saw that an Egyptian was striking a Jew. See, he went and he killed the Egyptian. Again, when he came out and he saw that two Jews were striking each other, again he involved himself. When he went to Midian, and there he saw the daughters of Yisro, and other shepherds came and they were molesting them, chasing them away and wanted to harm them, there he stood to fight against them. And it was through this quality that many of our Sforim tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Moshe that he was capable of being a shepherd for all of Israel. Because the shepherd is someone who will guard the sheep, take responsibility for the sheep. To assume responsibility does not mean to withdraw into your own corner, but to go out and to see the troubles of the people and to aid them. This midah also, this quality also, was the quality of Avraham Avinu. Because, as we mentioned many times before, Avraham went to fight against the entire world. And what made Avraham different than all of the others? There were other righteous people. There was Noach, and there was Shem, and there was Aver, and there was Kanoch. There were other righteous people. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose Avraham Avinu? The other righteous people who fulfilled the dictates of Hashem, they fulfilled it merely for themselves and their immediate family. Like we find that the influence of Noach spread no further than his most immediate family. By Avraham we find that when he recognized the truth of Hashem, he went to spread these truths to the entire world. He went to kings, he went to monarchs, he debated with them, he fought with them, he taught. And when he left his land where he was living to go to Eretz Yisrael, Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go. So it states that he took with them, he and Sora took with them, Esa Nefesh Asher Osu Bechorot. They took with them the Nefesh, the lives which they made in Chorot. What were these lives that they made? The Shabidul Raiso. The lives which they created by teaching Torah. The Rambam writes that these were not a few people. This was the house of Avraham, which had tens of thousands. When they left, they had tens of thousands of followers. And then it states, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, he called to the Shem Hashem. Wherever Avraham went, he taught people of the ways of the Almighty. He put up an inn, a hotel. He invited people in. He taught them how to make a brocha and how to bench. He taught them of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what was the underlying factor here? It states that the great quality of Avraham was the midah of chesed, of loving kindness. Avraham was not satisfied that he knew the truth. He wanted the whole world to know the truth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking for the cornerstone of Israel. He needed someone that would not only give this truth over, but guarantee that it lasts forever. He said that I will choose Avraham, ki yodativ leman yetzaves bonav ubeisei achrov, because I know by Avraham he will give his life to see that these truths are given over to his children and his household forever. And this we find. This was the great chesed, the great loving kindness. Now, if these are the laws in regards to a person's physical life, so then how much more so is it in regards to the person's spiritual life? The Gemara says that a person's father and mother brings him into this world, but the rabbi, his rebbe, brings him into this world and the world to come. It's another Gemara that states that what a person does physically for himself in this world, that's chayisho, that's a temporary life. What he does in regards for Torah and mitzvahs, that's chayayilam, that's a life that will live forever. So if here we see that the Torah was so stringent when it comes to protecting a person's life, and we're speaking here of his physical life, So then how much more so when it comes to a person's life forever? This was the greatness of Avraham Avinu. This was the Hatzolus Nefoshes. If you save one person, it's as if you have saved the entire world. Our youth of today, in South Africa, in America, they look for something to become involved in. Many of them want to become involved. They're perhaps not like their predecessors, that there the tendency was to become disinvolved. So they look for movements, they look for causes, they look for action. And basically the motivation is a good motivation. It's what the Torah is telling us. It's not sufficient that a person in his own Dalet Amos, in his own four cubits, should take care of himself. And this was the quality of Avraham Avinu, this was the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu. But at the same time, there is another important point to remember. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, writes in his Shir HaShirim, where he writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclaims, all of the vineyards are being cared for. Karmi Shali Leinatorti. But my vineyard no one is caring for. All of the vineyards are being taken care of. But who's watching my vineyard? All of the causes are being taken care of. All of the movements are being taken care of. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, when it comes to Torah for Klal Yisrael, the lives of Israel, who's taking care of that? This, I feel, is a great misdirection in the youth of the world today. You have situations in the Western world where Jews are free to practice whatever they want to. They're free to grow. Yet because there is no one, almost no one, who takes an interest to see that Torah is brought to them, so there becomes a great darkness and a void and a vacuum. If we hear that in Russia the Jewish rights are being taken away, so the youth in America will go marching. Alright, rightly so. But what about in America and South Africa, where the Jews' rights are not being taken away by foreign powers, but still they are being taken away by ignorance and assimilation? We don't see any marches. No one does anything about it. You have literally, in the Western world today, literally millions of Jews that because of lack of opportunity to learn Torah and to learn mitzvahs, their lives are being choked from them. They are drowning in the sea. And nobody's doing anything about it. All other causes are being taken care of fine, very in top shape. Millions upon millions are being poured into it. Energies are being poured into it. It's like Shlomo HaMelech writes, all of the vineyards in the world are being taken care of, but Karmi Shali, but my vineyard has been neglected. This is what we can learn from this point here. That the Torah required us, from us, to react and to do. Leisamer al dam re'echo, you are not allowed to stand by and see another Jew being killed. And if you do, then you are guilty for his blood. It's on this halacha that the Rambam brings that if you save one life, that's saving the entire world. If you cause one life to be lost, it's as if you're causing the entire world to be lost. Yet in the greatest of silence, we stand by and watch one of the greatest assimilations that the Jewish world has ever had to witness. And it's not assimilation because of the coercion of foreign powers, but merely because of inaction. And if this is true when it comes to a physical life of a person, which the Gemara calls a chayishah, it's a temporary life, so how much more so when we're speaking of a life, the chayah elam, a life forever. Another very important point from the Sedra. When we speak of murder, we say, what does that have to do with religious Jews? In Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam brings, and he brings this in the same chapters of Hilchas Reseach and Shmiras Nefesh, in the same chapters when it comes to the laws of murder and the laws of guarding one's life. Mitzvah says, Lase Soda Makel Gagai, Shtemer Vosisa Makel Gagecho. The Torah commands us to place a fence around the roof. If it's a place where a person uses and there is a danger, then we're obligated to build such a fence. Whoever leaves his roof without a fence around it, a guardrail, he transgresses a positive commandment and a negative commandment. You shall not bring blood into your house. Now, this does not only refer to a roof. This refers to a roof or any point of danger that it's possible that a person can be harmed from or killed, then we are obligated to safeguard it. For example, if a person has a well in his yard that has water, he must put a fence around it or cover it up. This would be the case of a swimming pool. Chol mikshol sheyesh bo sakonas nefoshes mitzvos esei lahasirei. Any possible cause of danger to life is a commandment from the Torah to remove it and to guard against it. Leizoya bedove yofe yofe. And to guard very carefully against it. Shneimar, as it states, yishom elecho oshma nafshecha. You shall guard yourself and guard your lives. And if not, then leisosim damim veisecho, you are considered guilty of bringing blood into your house. And then the Rambam goes on to other such halachos also. Now this is something that does not only apply to murderers, this applies to all of us, all of the time. That the Torah cautioned us very severely to protect life. Where this is particularly prevalent is in driving motor cars. When a person is driving a car, he has in his hands something that can cause injury and death. And if there's negligence or carelessness or recklessness, many people will say, well, I don't care. You might not care, but you might be bringing harm to someone else's life. And this goes into these parishes. Goes into these laws. And even if it's only to his own life, that also are in these laws, that a person even in regards to one's own life, a person is not allowed to cause any harm to it. And this is something to take very seriously, especially in view of the fact that in our own land in Israel, there the traffic fatalities are supposed to be so high. All of the harm and injury to life. And this goes into the parasha of Shvichas Domim, of the spilling of blood. Why is it that the Torah was so stringent when it came to this mitzvah? From the psukim that we quoted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Le'yach nifes ha'oretz le'oretz le'yichupal adam asher shufach bo kim bedam sheifcheh." The land will not give forth atonement from the spilling of blood unless revenge was taken from the murderer. "And you shall not cause impurity to the land which I dwell in, because I dwell amongst you." And Rashi writes, "Shalei tashkino isi betumasa." I will not be forced to dwell amongst you in impurities, where there is the spilling of blood. We learned that the one who murders without intent, he has to go to the city of refuge, and he stays there until the death of the Kohen Godel. Rashi says, why? Shehu bo lahashri shkinim Yisrael laharech yameihem, v'areetzeach bo lesalikes hashkinim Yisrael, u'mekatzir shimei achai. Because the Kohen Godel, the high priest, it is his function to bring Shechina, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence into Israel. And this person, and with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Israel, there is the presence of life. This person destroys life in Israel, and he destroys the presence of the Almighty. Therefore, the two contrary beings, the murderer and the high priest. Therefore, the murderer must stay there until the high priest dies. The Rambam brings in Perek Dalet Halacha Tes Ve'ein eisin dover zeh l'shar mechuvi misis bezdin. She'elu avaynes. No. She'af opi she'esh avaynes chamurim mishvichas domim. Even though there are averus, there are sins that might be categorized as more severe than the spilling of blood, but there is no avera which is more destructive to the civilization that we have than the spilling of blood, innocent blood. Afilo avera zora, ve'en tzorach lema arayis uchilu shabbos. Even idolatry, or even adultery, or incest, or even chilu shabbos, the breaking of shabbos, these do not destroy the civilization that we live in, like shvichas domim, like the spilling of blood. Einun kin shvichas domim. She'eila aveinus ein ma'aveira shebein odo l'mokom, aber shvichas domim ma'aveira shebein oilu bein chaveira. The other aveiras, they are between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This aveira, this is between man and his fellow man. V'chol mi sheyesh bo yodei ovim zeh, harehu rosh gomer. And whoever has this aveira in his hand, he's a rosh gomor. He is a complete rosha. Ben kol mitzvah she'osa kol yom av shkulin keneged oved zeh. And all of the mitzvahs that he would do in his lifetime are not equal to this aveira. Ve'le'yatziluhu min adin, and they will not save him from this judgment. Save aloman me'achov eved avodah zarah. We see from Achov that Achov was an idolater, and still, when the Almighty weighed his sins and his mitzvahs, the main Avera, which caused his destruction, and which he could not be saved from, was the main Avera, was from the fact that he had killed someone. And even this person that he killed, he did not kill him directly. He had arranged it that this person should be killed. So then how much more so when someone actually kills someone else? What is the reason why the Torah was so stringent when it came to this mitzvah? The reason is found in Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach, that's the first time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told people, he told Noach after the flood, that he's not allowed to take innocent blood. There writes Kibbutzelem Elakim also as Ha'odom, because God has made man in his image. When a person kills another person, he is not destroying merely a person, but he is destroying some of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, some of the Almighty himself. Kibbutzelem Elakim also as Ha'odom. The Almighty gave to each individual a part of himself, and he was created in his image. And when he destroys him, he is destroying that image. Kibbutzelem Elakim. From here we should learn, what does it mean, the life of a person? The individual was given the greatest gift that the Almighty gave to this world, and that was life. And life is the Almighty himself. He gave part of himself to that individual. If life is taken from that person, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu departs from him. The soul departs. In each individual is the Shechinas Hashem, the dwelling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When life departs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu departs. This is why we find that the murderer is contrary to the presence of the Almighty. The Kohen Gadol, it is his function to bring the Shekhinah. What was the Kohen Gadol? Who was he? When the Mishkan was created, the sanctuary of Hashem, at that time Moshe acted as the Kohen Gadol, and then Aaron. It was their function to bring Hashem into the Mishkan. Hashem said, "V'osu li Mikdosh, build for me a base of Mikdosh, v'shochanti b'seichom, that I might dwell in it." So it was their function to bring Hashem into the people, into the Mishkan, and into the people. If the Mishkan was amongst the people, then Hashem would dwell amongst them. This was the function of the Kohen Gadol. This is what Moshe did, and this is what Aaron did. The Chazal teach us that every individual is similar to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because the Beis HaMikdash was made out of something physical. It was made out of wood and stone, except it had the presence of the Almighty that would come into it. So is an individual. He is made out of physical matter, and he has the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a person. When a person is destroyed, so then he is destroying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Part of Hashem leaves this world. Therefore, someone who destroys one Jew is as if he's destroying an entire world, because he is chasing Hashem out of the world. This is why Hashem says that the land will not be atoned, and I will not dwell in the land until revenge is taken from he who will take another person's life in cold blood. Because he has acted against me. He has destroyed me. If we go a step further, go a little further, and we want to digest a little better, what is the nekuda? What is the point of life? We're speaking here of life. How do we analyze? How do we define life? What is the greatness of life? You know, when it comes to the nations of the world, they're not very interested in life, as we'll see in a minute. But to a Jew, there could be nothing more sanctified than a life. And what was Nekudas HaChaim? The central point of life. When the Chofetz Chaim, Zocheinu Bevrocha, they say on him, I don't know if he visited America. They say either he visited America or he heard from the Americans. He heard the saying, Geld ist Zeit, time is money. Time a person can make money. So when he heard this, the Chofetz Chaim said, Ich sag anders, I say differently. I say, is Geld is sight, not sight is Geld. Money is time, and time is life, and sight is leaven. Not that time is money, that time is something that can be taken and turned into money. Because money is not the ultimate. Rather, money can be taken and turned into time. And if a person has time, then he has life. Every minute is life. What is time on this world in relation to a person? He's living another minute. And what is life? The Gemara says, Hameisim chofshi min ha-mitzvus. A live person has a portion in Torah and mitzvus. A dead person has no portion in Torah. A person was given the power, the domain, to be the master over himself, to determine his own actions in the area of right and wrong. This domain was given to no other creation in the world. And this, the Gemara tells us, even the Almighty cannot interfere. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz miyirei shemayim. Everything is under the supervision of the Almighty, except one domain. That's the individual's right to determine for himself what right is and what wrong is, what he wants to do. Morris says that whether a person will be wealthy or poor, that's not his domain. Sick or healthy, strong or weak, clever or not so clever, this is not his domain. But in determining what's right and determine to do what's right or to do what's wrong, this the Almighty does not enter into that. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except this. In this way, the individual is even greater than the Almighty, if we could say such a thing. Because there is nothing in this world which is free from the interference of the Almighty, except that area. The Rambam writes very clearly, any individual has the potential of becoming the greatest righteous person like Moshe Rabbeinu, and any individual has the potential of becoming the greatest Rosho. We can't say that this person was always destined to be that and this person was destined to be this. No, not so. This he determines for himself. And this point is called Nekudas HaBachira, that a person is self-governing. This was given to no other creation and is found in no place in the entire universe. And every minute that a person breathes, then he has this domain. Then he is the king over this area, which is an area that even the Almighty is not a king over. Once he stops breathing, once there's death, then he has lost this. Yesh keina ilama v'shoachas. Mora says that a person can acquire his world to come, which lasts forever, in one instant. One instant, he can do such an achievement in righteousness that it could mean everlasting world to come for him. And the same thing vice versa. So this is what the Chofetz Chaim meant. He says, not that time is money, time can be turned into money. Money is time. Money can be turned into time. And time is life. Every minute is another life. And this is Selam Elokim. This is the presence of the Almighty. And therefore another person comes and destroys a human being. He has destroyed the greatest creation of the world. He has destroyed Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will not dwell in the land until revenge is taken from the murderer. And then in no circumstances can you close your eyes to it. From here we understand why by Jews life was always so sacred. And why by Jews what it meant, another life. The Gemara says, mitzvah pru ravu mitzvah rabohi. The mitzvah of giving birth to children. This is from the greatest mitzvahs. Because with every birth, a new life comes into the world. A new Shechina comes into the world. With the Shechina comes bracha. The Gemara says, Ein ben David bo ad sheyich lekol neshama shebeguf. The Mashiach will come only when all of the neshamas that were supposed to be born are born. It is brought that with every birth, the whole goal of Klal Yisrael is to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name into the world. With every birth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name goes further. Because Israel has their name engraved upon themselves. Unfortunately, the nations of the world, when it comes to this, it's just the opposite. Oh, they'll make nice speeches, and they'll talk nicely, and they'll write nice books, they'll make nice movies, they'll talk about justice, and they'll talk about the courts. They'll write scholarly works on it. And they'll have that great tribunal, the United Nations, and so forth. The Gemara says, brings a case, and says that Rome was the epitome of this lie and deceit. That outwardly they showed themselves to be righteous, just people. The Gemara brings one case of a judge, of a Roman judge, where he gave someone the death penalty because that person had killed someone and had committed adultery on the same day. So he gave him the death penalty. Then he turned to a colleague and he said that I myself did the same thing yesterday. When it comes to Shvichas Domim, the spilling of blood, you can't imagine the wars of the Goyim, in which millions upon millions, every generation, every few generations, millions upon millions are lost. The wars of Russia, the wars of Germany, wars in Vietnam. Politically motivated, the wars are mostly. And who can ever get to the bottom of it to say who's right and who's wrong? You have such laws, such practices that go on in the Western culture where the citizen has no rights. He is not protected. And murderers walk along the streets. The person, the citizen, who is supposed to be protected, he can't go outside. Or if we would go a little further, you have abortions which literally go into the hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not more, per year. You have the popular concept of birth control amongst the nations of the world. Everything just to the contrary. In other words, life has no sanctity to them. It means nothing. It's only a tool. It's only a tool to gain something else from. And people become merely pawns in their on the chessboard to promote the gains of those who are in control. And we live in a world today where violence is so commonplace that it has come to such an alarming extent that even people who were always promoters of such a thing are today becoming aghast at the types of films and books that are being churned out by Western culture. Just one final note in this. The Torah always tells us that we should be careful not to learn the ways of the goy. Kosh Baruch Hu said that I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim. It's a land which is full of tumah impurities. Do not learn their ways. And I'm bringing you into Eretz Canaan, that there are nations also full of impurities. Do not learn their ways. We live amongst nations of the world. We must not learn their ways. And so much of their culture seeps into us that we completely forget what are Torah values and what are non-Torah values. I once mentioned that there was once an actor who was Shomer Shabbos. He was Frum, and he was an actor on Broadway. And he wrote a shaila to Reb Moshe Feinstein, who was a great posek from the great Gedolim of America, of the world. He wrote him a shaila asking him that he acts in the plays on Shabbos. So would it be all right if he would have a non-Jew put his makeup on him? So Reb Moshe writes back and he tells him what he can do and what he cannot do. But then at the end of the letter, he writes to him and he says, if you're Shomer Shabbos and you're a Frumer Jew, he says, I can't understand, what are you doing on the stage in Broadway? He says, there can't be anything worse than the plays and the films of the Goyim. And he says the reason why. And the reason he gives is not the popular reason that people will say, well, there's not modesty. There is scenes that a person shouldn't see, or whatever it might be. He says a different reason. He says Hollywood and Broadway are makel b'shfichas domim ha'aver achamur shebetero. They make a scoffing out of murder, which the Torah considers as the gravest avera, the gravest sin in the Torah. He says, to them it's a scoffing. They make a play out of it, out of a joke. You can't watch a television show without somebody getting stabbed. You can't watch a movie without somebody getting shot, without somebody getting hurt. can't read a novel without some type of idolatry or adultery or incest or murder or violence. And this absorbs in a person. A person absorbs this. This goes into a person. And his values become very blurred. The fact is that you from here you can see how far we've gone. The fact is that we can, if a person's Torah values were attuned to what they should be, so he would not be capable of watching this at all. But we watch it for entertainment. From there you see how far we've gone from the Torah values. We're taking what the Torah considers the most sacred, and to us it's entertainment how it becomes destroyed. And this is what he meant. How can you become part and parcel if you claim you're from it? From this parsha we see the Torah's values when it comes to human life and when it comes to the destruction of human life. And from here we can see the converse where the nations of the world are. We see the difference, where the difference was by Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world. This is what we can learn from this parsha. So there are many things that even someone who is Shomer Shabbos can learn from the halachos of Shvichas Domim. We may be zeicher to see the values of Torah uplifted and to see life in the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.